Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read the following. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now imagine for a moment that Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, is God the Father talking to you as His child, where He says to us, my son, because after all we are the sons of God, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know what he's saying in this passage is, keeping his commandments provides personal benefits to you. Keeping his commandments provides personal benefits to us. They add length of days. They add long life. They add peace. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we read a passage that's very similar. Deuteronomy chapter 5 in verses 32 and 33. The Lord said to Israel, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded, which the Lord hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. You see that? That ye may live. You know, even though we are under grace and no longer under the law, even though we are under grace and no longer observe the Sabbath, you know what? We ought to keep God's commandments. I mean, if you think about it, according to what Solomon said to his son, this is the way to live. Let's go to the commandments, Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at those commandments. And let's look at those commandments in light of the text that we've read today, Proverbs chapter 3. And consider this. Forget not my law, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, you go back to Exodus chapter 20. And read those laws and consider those as the commandments that God would have us keep for the benefits that he mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. Just look at what you're finding. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, then the Lord must be your only God. That's right. You should not worship anything else or anyone else besides the Lord God, the God of the Bible. You should serve no other God, whether it's your own belly or the God of another person or the God of another religion. You should serve none else but the Lord God. And I say the Lord God of the Bible, the one that has revealed himself to us in these words. Don't let anyone or any lust influence you in any direction that is contrary to God. You should love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know, that's what Jesus Christ said when he was questioned by the lawyer about the great commandment, the first and great commandment of the Bible. He said, what is the first and great commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Why is that? Because the Lord is better to you than any other person in the world. When you follow God, you will never look back on any part of your life with regret. You remember when Paul gave his testimony and he said, I have in all good conscience served God, you know, what did he say, from my youth up, something like that? I'm paraphrasing his comment, but the point is, even then when he was persecuting the church, he said, I did it in ignorance. I mean, he had a zeal for God based upon the law, whereby he thought for sure that he was doing God pleasure to persecute the church. Jesus said it would be that way. And when Paul realized his error, when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he changed immediately and began to serve the Lord in a different capacity, recognizing that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And so when that happened to Paul, he could say, I have served God in all good conscience to this day, because according to the law, he was blameless. His regret would be that he persecuted the church in ignorance, but his regret would not be that he had done something that he thought at that point had displeased God. You see, when you have no other gods before the Lord, God will always be on your side. You will always be on His side, and He will always be on your side. Imagine the God that created the universe, your God. Imagine the God who sent His only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins, your God. Imagine that. The God of all provision, the God of all protection, the God of all wisdom, the God of all strength, the God of all might, the God who has no beginning and no ending, your God. Woo! You talk about a benefit. You talk about being in a right relationship with God. You talk about something good for you. You talk about something good for me. Listen, as God's children, we want to be sure that we never have a God that is above our God. You know, some men who are Christians put scholarship above God. Some people put money above God. Some people put their own belly above God. Some people put an associate before God. Do you understand? Sometimes they put themselves before God in pride. Never do that. Always, always, God first. The second thing we see in the commandments is that we should not bow down or serve graven images. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4, 5, and 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Do you see that? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Don't bow down or serve graven images. You see, false religions make images for you to worship. We've been to many countries in the world where there are many different religions in the world, and many of them have images. We've been in a Taoist temple in a mountain in the Philippines. We've been to a Hindu temple in Trinidad. We've seen mosques and churches with statues inside of the churches. And you know what happens with all of these images? They are not God. People say, well, they are an aid to worship. Listen, that's not even true. The God you and I believe in the Bible is not a God whose worship is improved by looking at an image. Why? Because faith is the way that we worship Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, we worship God who is supernatural. He's not visible. And there is no, there's no image that you can make of any similitude of anything you've ever seen in the earth or in heaven or beneath the earth that is going to improve your relationship to God. All of these images are man-made. And all of these images put you in bondage to fear. And they all make you superstitious. When Paul was in Athens, they had an altar there to the unknown God. He was already familiar with all this idolatry. And you know what Paul said? Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Now, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I grew up with the images. I grew up with the medals. I grew up with the rosaries. And I'm going to tell you something, very, very superstitious. Yes, sir. Paul said, who would think that God is somebody that would be worshipped with men's hands? He said, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." He said, "The Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not in temples made with hands." It doesn't help you to bow down to a graven image. As a matter of fact, if you do that, even by way of genuflection, you know what you're showing the Lord? According to what he said, that you hate him. Now, you say, "Well, I don't hate the Lord." Well, he said, when you bow down and serve an image, you hate me. That's what he said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Read it for yourself. Isn't it strange? I find it strange that in the church I grew up in, the second commandment is removed. You look at your list of 10 commandments if you grew up in the same church that I grew up in. You look at them. And this commandment we're talking about right now, not bowing down or serving graven images, is not in the list. What's happened is it's been removed, and the 10th commandment, that thou shalt not covet, has been divided into two commandments. Now, listen. You know, when a child doesn't tell you all the truth, he's hiding a portion of the truth. You know what he's doing to you? He's lying to cover the lie. When somebody removes clearly three verses of the Ten Commandments to hide the second commandment, they are hiding something they know is wrong. You should know it's wrong. And by the way, once you break away from the images, once you break away from the superstition, once you are no longer in fear that something bad will happen to you if you don't show proper veneration to the image. And listen, I've been to Fatima, I've been to Mexico City where they worship Our Lady of Guadalupe. I've seen those things. And let me tell you, they walk on their knees for miles to venerate those images. And let me tell you something, when you break away from all that and you are no longer concerned that God is going to do something bad to you for not showing your proper piety to those images, you are going to walk away in liberty and joy that you can worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when you do, you're going to be like, "Wow, praise the Lord, man, finally." So this is the way to live. With God as your only God, never let anything come between you and God. And don't bow down or serve graven images. They don't help you. They get in the way. And then the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Don't take God's name in vain. Now, this note not only includes cursing, but also expressions like, "Oh, Lord." Why? Because you're invoking the name of God as an expletive without cursing. "Oh, my gosh," is just another way of saying, "Oh, my God." And people today, it's supposed to be real funny in texting, OMG. Look, that's vanity. That's taking God's name in vain. How about this one? Jeez. You know what that is? That's just a short way of saying Jesus. And people will say Jesus, and then they'll say Christ, and they'll say it as an expletive whenever something goes wrong. Look, reverence His name and reverence His book. Hold them both in the highest esteem. God has given Jesus a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. His name is holy. His name is reverent. His name is high. Those names, His name and His book are to be magnified. The Bible says, Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. A God does not hold a person guiltless who takes His name in vain. Do you understand? We're talking about ways to improve your life. This is the way to live. Learn a better vocabulary where you can say things without ever using God's name in vain, without ever using His name as an expletive. What a terrible way to take such a high and good and holy name and use it. I remember years ago there was an outdoor picnic following a Bible conference, and one of the preachers that was visiting had put his Bible on the table, and when I saw him and his wife, there were two chairs across from us, and I invited him to come sit down. He was wearing his cowboy hat. And so I took it from him when he was looking for a place to put it. I just set it on the table. I happened to set it on top of his Bible. He grabbed it immediately. He said, "No, brother, no, nothing on top of the Bible." Well, I've never forgotten that, and I've never put anything back on top of the Bible. I think, how many people are so careless with their Bibles? They just throw it on the seat, throw it on the floor, gathers dust on the coffee table, under some papers. No, no, no. Reverence. And listen, when you remember His name is high and holy like that, oh, and you reverence His name, let me tell you something. You learn this is the way to live, because He is always the highest and most esteemed person in your life. A fellow married a girl and told her on their honeymoon, you know, "You'll never be my first love." And she was shocked. He said, "No, God Almighty will always be my first love." And then she smiled. She said, "Well, I know then you'll love me more than you would have loved me had I been your first love." Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. All right, here's the next thing. This is the way to live. Go to church. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." Well, we don't keep the Sabbath anymore. But you and your family should be in church together. And you should set aside the rest of the day for the Lord. That's right. That's a day of rest. That is a day for God. The old saying is true, the family that prays together stays together. That's a very true statement. That's something that you ought to definitely, most definitely consider in your own life. Listen, our lives are so much better, and I love being with the folks on church, but our lives are so much better being in church, well, Sunday and Wednesday for us, with God's people, hearing from the Lord, preaching the Word of God, and it just resets your entire week. Now, people who try to skip that and then make things work out, I tell you what, they just... Well, they're not as happy, they're not as focused, they're not as directed as those who take that day for God. Here's another one, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's the commandment with promise, and Paul quotes that commandment in the New Testament and reminds you of the promise. Honor your father and your mother. We're talking about a way to live. If you honor your father and mother, you'll obey them, and if you obey them, you're going to have peace all of your days, because you will never have conflict with your parents. And listen, those are the people you never want to have conflict with. They love you more than anyone else on earth. Now, you may question that sometimes, but I guarantee you, it's so. My father was not one to express affection, to talk about how he loved us when we were younger. As he got older, that became more important to him, but not when we were younger. But we never doubted his love, and I'll guarantee you, to this day, I know that as far as people on earth, that man loved his children more than anybody else. As far as earthly people, honor your father and your mother. We're talking about the way to live, man. Just decide, I am not going to argue with my parents. I am not going to try to get my own way. I'm going to obey them. And when they're not present and I am away, I'm going to still do those things. that I know are in accordance with their commands in my life. Your life, you're just not going to look back one day and have to ask for forgiveness about your rebellion and stupidity. Those days will never come in your life. Here's one that's easy. Thou shalt not kill. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. This is obvious. It has obvious benefits to you and obvious benefits to the other person, the person you might have wanted to kill. You know what? This killing comes mainly from the inability to rule your own spirit, from an inability to control your anger. I think about people in road rage even, and all those other things where you fly off the handle. You can surely see the benefit of abiding by that commandment. Listen, you'll end up in a place where your concern for people that you don't like is for their soul, but you're certainly not going to be in a place where you want to eliminate them. And your concern for those that you do love is always going to be their best interest, and not to use your anger to manipulate or to harm them in any way. That's a good commandment. How about this one? Don't commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. You know what? Just think about this. How would life be if Christians and young people growing up in Christian homes decided that they would wait till marriage before they had any relations that are, you know, available to you in marriage, and that they would remain faithful to their spouses after their marriage? Imagine that. Just you wait till marriage, and then you remain faithful to your spouse after you're married. Just imagine that. You talk about a benefit. Listen, if you keep yourself pure till you marry and you remain faithful to your spouse, there will never be a question as to your fidelity. There'll never be an issue regarding your trust. I remember reading a book of a doctor, and here's what he said. I remained faithful to my wife before we married. I was never with another woman, and after we married, I've always been faithful with my wife. Some woman, when he became wealthy, accused him of an affair. He said, I didn't even sweat it. And the reason he said, I never sweat it, is that I knew she was lying because I had never been with any other woman other than my wife. Wow, what a tremendous testimony. Tremendous. You ought to have that testimony. Imagine how much better your life would be if you didn't have any other relations with anybody other than your spouse. How about this one? Don't steal. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather working with his own hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's a tremendous that's a tremendous blessing. You know what? You ought to learn to work instead of stealing. I know people today that I have visited in prison, and you know what their problem is? They wanted more than they could earn by working, and so they stole, mainly to feed a drug habit all those cases, or to get more quickly than they could have by working. And one fellow was bored with the idea of working 8 to 5, 5 days a week. Just couldn't stand it. Didn't like that idea. You know what? You think his life is better behind bars? I know another fellow, and he was supporting a drug habit, and he would go. He'd get out of prison, then he would go right back, and he would steal again, possessions from people's homes in order to feed his drug habit. And he spent more time in prison as a married man than he did out of prison. I'll guarantee you, his life was not better for that. We're talking about the way to live. Just learn to pay your bills, to live within your means, and keep your hands off of other people's property, and don't steal your employer's time. If he's paying you for a full occupation, full, you know, 40 hours, give him 40 hours. Give him 41. Don't steal. Listen, Don't bear false witness or lie. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Always tell the truth, all the time. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, Paul said, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Imagine having the testimony that everything you said was absolutely the truth and everybody you know knew it. You know what? You would never have trouble building trust with anybody who knew you, and your word would be better than a contract. Boy, you talk about a way to live. Somebody could ask you a question and you answer them truthfully, they would never have any reason to question your validity, your honor, or your integrity. Trust. And then finally, Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Don't covet. Don't covet. You know what? That was the Pharisees' problem. They were covetous. That's right. That was their problem. Part of it. Covetousness is what ruins rulers. That's why when they were appointing rulers and judges in Israel, said, you don't want a covetous man. Why? He'll take a bribe. Covetousness, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, is idolatry. Well, then that's putting another god before God. That's worshiping mammon, and you can't serve God and mammon. You know how much better you are off when you don't covet? You know the great result of that is contentment. And Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm just telling you that though we're under grace, you don't need to ignore the commandments. And the reason you don't need to ignore the commandments is it's a great way to live. Solomon said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I'm here to tell you, he's absolutely right. So since God is your Father, why don't you obey those commandments and keep them in a way that you understand your life will be better for doing so. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.